Defend your vehicle from harmful elements and restore shine with Armor All Canister Wipes. Right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, pick up Armor All Canister Wipes for $3.99. Easily remove dirt, dust, and grime with Armor All Canister Wipes on sale for $3.99 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Kids, KARS cards for kids. 1-877 cards for kids. Donate your card today.
1-877 cards for kids. KARS cards for kids. 1-877 cards for kids. Donate your card today.
To learn more about our programs and to donate, go to cardsforkids.com. That's cards with a K. Pickup is quick and easy. You'll also get a vacation voucher and maximum tax deduction.
1-877 cards for kids. KARS cards for kids. 1-877 cards for kids. Donate your card today.
Also accepting boats, motorcycles, RVs, and real estate donations.
The Score is Chicago's exclusive home for Super Bowl 53. The matchup is set. Don't miss the New England Patriots take on the LA Rams. Listen live Super Bowl Sunday on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Radio.com Sports. A Westwood One sports production. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studio.
The Score!
Scoreboard update.
From the Northwestern Basketball Update Studio, I'm Joe Ostrowski. Join Coach Collins and the Cats at the new Welsh Ryan Arena next Monday, February 4th, when they host Penn State at 7. Limited tickets remain. Buy now at NUSports.com. All of the constant reporting on Manny Machado and others has not helped Rick Hahn and the White Sox.
From our standpoint, it's frustrating, but we have to adjust. And the fact is that there's been not only reports of offers that we supposedly have made that have been inaccurate, but there's been reports that we've been interested in players, that are pursuing players that, in all reality, I don't even know who the agent is because I haven't spoken to that person about that player. And there's been reports of offers that we've made to players that signed elsewhere that we never made. And that's frustrating.
The Sox GM Hahn on the Mully and Haas Show. Over to the NBA, Anthony Davis wants out of New Orleans. The superstar from Chicago has requested a trade from the Pelicans. In the NFL, Brett Bielema is reportedly telling people that he is going to be the Patriots' new defensive coordinator. Brian Flores leaving to become the Dolphins' head coach. Ian Rappaport reports that the Steelers have not given wideout Antonio Brown permission to seek a trade. And in college hoops, Notre Dame is a 14-point home underdog to Duke and Zion Williamson. This update was brought to you by New Mail Medical Center. Discover the new you, newmailmedical.com. I'm Joe Ostrowski, and you're listening to the radio home for Super Bowl 53. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com station.
This hour is brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago.
11.
Now, Midway.
The Midday Midway.
1, 2.
Midway, the most important of the year.
3, 4.
The most exciting thing on the Midway.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Our objective is Midway.
9, 10.
It's not 10. You see, you're on 10 here. Where can you go from there? Where? To 11. 11, exactly.
11.
Midway. So real, you can almost feel it.
The Midday Midway with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Started out talking about the possibility of Anthony Davis heading to a different NBA team. He wants a trade. He has told the Pelicans he is not going to re-sign, so somebody could have him for a year and a half if they can entice the Pelicans to make a deal. But ideally, that would be a team to which Davis would commit. And it would be more than just the year and a half. They would make the move, and they would have him going forward as the foundational piece of their team. And we were lamenting that the Bulls just don't really have a roadmap to be that team, despite the fact that it's his hometown, really don't seem to be on the radar or in competition for one of these rare times that somebody like this becomes available. We talked about some of the rumor mongering and conspiracy theorism about the number of NFC Championship officials that were all from Southern California, that the league quietly has voiced some concern about that, even though they won't make an official statement about what happened.
Or anything else.
We talked to Matt Miller. You also mentioned some odd, some curious statements coming from the head of the Dodgers about how they're doing their business and what they owe or don't owe their fans. And we talked McDonald's and bacon with Chef Mike Harris.
We're going to start low and get up there, like a grunge song from the early 90s. This from The Post. I love this article, too. The world's loneliest duck has been mauled to death by a dog on a remote island. The so-called world's loneliest duck has died on a remote Pacific island after being attacked by a dog. Trevor, mallard, became something of a celebrity for being the only bird of his kind in the small island nation of Niue. His death on Friday was announced on a Facebook page dedicated to the animal. What a sad way for the journey of Trevor the duck to end, the social media post read. He flew into Niue in a storm about a year ago, chose to live in the puddle by the side of the road, won the hearts of so many locals and tourists, and became a global celebrity and promoter of Niue. Taken too soon by a dog, rest in peace, Trevor. You were a very cool duck. Ray Findley.
Niue's, was he actually eaten, or was he just killed, or will other people eat him?
Niue's Chamber of Commerce chief, who runs Trevor's Facebook page, told the BBC that it's believed Trevor came in from New Zealand, but it's also possible he came from Tonga. He was a mallard duck, so we called him Trevor Mallard, after a local New Zealand politician, and the name stuck. Before he was killed, the duck spent his time in a large puddle. There are no rivers, streams, or lakes here. Trevor chose a place that have no rivers or streams or lakes. According to the news outlet, the puddle that Trevor made home was regularly checked on by locals, even the island's fire brigade, whose members would refill the puddle if the water level got too low. He regularly flew in to visit the locals on their lawns and enjoyed tasty treats they offered. Despite Trevor being known as the world's loneliest duck, he managed to become pals with a rooster, a chicken, and a native bird known as a weka. W-E-K-A? Weka? Weka? Any idea? No?
No clue.
The rooster, chicken, and Weka were looking a little forlorn today, walking around the near dry puddle. Captured many hearts. He'll definitely be missed. He was mauled to death by a dog. R.I.P. Trevor Mallard.
Need a ruling on Gary Rutherford of Blue Lake. This from the Duluth News Tribune. I got a lot of my money in Duluth. Some other things, too. I can't get back.
You want it back?
No.
Okay.
Just about every morning in January and February, Gary Rutherford fires up his pickup truck. He calls his Yellow Lab Ranger to join him, and he leaves his lakeside home in Pengilly to drive 7 miles to Blue Lake near Nashwauk. And he is watching massive HD flat screens. And it's his own channel, Gary Rutherford's Fish TV, brought to you by three underwater cameras attached to three big-screen TV monitors bolted to the walls of his ice-fishing shelter. And he's got this, you know, 70...
That's a home. That's not an ice-fishing shelter.
70-degree... Hold on a second. So, some people go to their ice-fishing shelters and they got football on, yeah, or basketball. They're just watching movies or whatever. He doesn't. He's looking at northern pike, bluegills, crappies, the occasional perch. It's 70 degrees in there. String of HDMI cables in the shelter, three underwater cameras, AquaView and Markham, several others in case one goes bad. And he isn't just watching. He's dropping sucker minnows impaled on treble hooks down the holes. And he catches a lot of fish.
I was just going to say, I bet he does.
He's fished here more than 50 days last year, starting New Year's Day when the ice was safe for his big rig. He and his guests caught a combined 132 northern pike. They keep a log book. His brother kept two. All the other fish were released. Started on January 9th. First day, he and his guests caught 11 pike. They don't have many big pike, mostly between 24 and 28, which, however, is ideal eating size.
For pike?
For pike. And you shouldn't eat anything bigger than that because it might be a female and could get up way, way, way bigger.
That makes sense.
He says they're fun to catch. I'm one of the few people out here fishing northerns. Most people are going after panfish. Says he used to fish competitive walleye tournaments, but he's a retired mine worker. And during the summer months, he targets muskie and pike. And in the winter, it's strictly pike. And he likes to, he says he really likes to watch them swim by. There's one that he calls Fat Boy that will swim by every once in a while, but never bites, just swims around, and they just recognize him. He says, I never get skunked. It's not getting skunked when you get to watch them all day. Huh. That's just as fun as catching them.
Huh.
I actually think this sounds like a great time. I don't know how I feel about how sportsmanlike it is to put three cameras down there and then drop your sucker minnows accordingly.
It's not very sportsmanlike at all. But he, at least he's catching and releasing the vast majority of his fish. What do you say? He kept one?
Two.
His brother-in-law kept two?
Yep.
It would be different if he was hauling these things out, filleting them and cooking them forever for himself. He's putting them back in the lake. That's not so bad.
Okay.
Just not very sportsmanlike.
Just making sure. I think for a day it might be kind of fun to do and look and see. And he says most people on that lake are catching panfish.
I have a heist for you.
Okay.
This from Agence France.
Well, be honest. You have it for yourself.
Yes.
It's not for me.
Yes, I do. A man who snatched a 19th century painting off the wall in a busy Moscow museum and calmly walked out has been arrested, authorities said on
Monday.
There's video. This guy walks up to the painting, takes the painting off the wall, and walks right out of the museum. Nobody touches him. The suspect took a Crimean landscape by Russian artist, I'm never going to pronounce the guy's name, Arkhip Kudinsky, and carried it through a room filled with visitors on Sunday evening. Footage aired on state television showed. It is the second security incident to hit the Capitol's gallery in a year. This after a visitor in May seriously damaged a painting of Ivan the Terrible. The Russian Interior Ministry said the 31-year-old man was detained Monday in a village outside Moscow, so that's probably not the actual case. He admitted hiding it on a construction site from where it was recovered, a ministry statement said. The painting was completed between 1898 and 1908. He just walks out. At the time of the theft, the museum's security, carried out by forces of the National Guard, the museum's security service, was working normally. The guy just walked up, grabbed the painting off the wall, and walked out.
Damn.
That's just stone cold. We're just going to walk up to the doors and take the thing and then head on through.
Try doing that with, like, the water lilies in the L'Orangerie.
I don't know where you'd...
You need,
it doesn't say
100
how
people to do that.
He, like, stored the painting. Because you got to take that out of the frame or something, right?
Maybe made it look like they left the coat hanger in his jacket like Phil Jackson.
It's just, good heist. He got caught.
No, that's not a good heist.
He got caught. He probably,
it's a brazen heist.
Probably beaten half to death, but he, Siri thinks we're talking to her. It's a decent heist.
This from USA Today. In space, no one can hear you scream, but they'll probably hear you laugh watching Memory, The Origins of Alien, an entertaining new documentary about Ridley Scott's Alien, which premiered at the Sundance Film Festival late Thursday night.
Wow.
I'm so in for this.
Ugh.
Director Alexander Philippe takes a loving look at the making of Scott's 1979 classic, which set itself apart from other sci-fi movies of its era with realism, a female protagonist, and most unforgettable icky body horror. Anyone who's seen Alien knows what we're talking about. The grisly moment when Kane, played by John Hurt, splayed across a table on the spaceship Nostromo, convulses in pain as a small alien creature bursts from his chest, spoiler alert, spattered with their now-deceased colleague's blood, Ripley and the crew look on in terror before the monster wriggles out of the room. So here's some of the amusing tidbits that you learn.
In the documentary?
Yeah. The original alien looked a lot like a penis.
Wait. The baby alien or the actual xenomorph?
No, the baby alien. It's this movie, which, by the way, it does not have a distributor yet. They're still looking for a distributor. It explores the chest burster scene at length, starting with the look of the alien itself, which was heavily drawn from Francis Bacon, perfect for today, his 1944 painting, Three Studies for Figures at the Base of a Crucifixion. So Scott, screenwriter Dan O'Bannon, and production designer H.R. Geiger were inspired by parasitic wasps known to eat caterpillars from the inside out. But early prototypes of the alien puppet weren't scary at all, resembling a plump, featherless chicken, a small dinosaur, and as one woman who worked on the movie points out, a penis with razor-sharp teeth.
Have you ever seen this painting, Three Studies for Figures at the Base of a Crucifixion?
Probably.
They all look like penises with teeth.
That's what we call Dan when he's not around.
Scott and Geiger eventually settled on a cobra-like alien puppet, which took the film crew nearly 4 hours to rig up inside Hertz's shirt, during which time he laid on the table drinking red wine and smoking cigarettes. Of course he did, because he's John Hurt.
You do.
They then stuffed his shirt with cow organs purchased from a local butcher shop. to give the appearance of Kane's...
John, just lay still. This is going to be weird.
...of Kane's guts spilling out. Cast member Veronica Cartwright, who played Lambert, laughingly remembers it smelling awful, making it difficult to stand near him. So once they were finally ready to shoot, it took a few tries for the alien to rip out of Hurt's shirt. Hilarious outtakes of it getting stuck inside are included in Memory, which drew the biggest chuckles from the audience members at an early screening, but the crew kept on pumping fake blood inside. So by the time the anticipated chest burst happened, the entire cast and room were covered in it. And Cartwright remembers slipping and falling on the floor during filming, but quickly recovered by the end of the scene. So I'm in for this. I want them to get a distributor so I can actually see this.
I might actually watch that. It might trigger the recurring nightmare, but I'd probably watch it. Watched a documentary over the weekend. I watched the Netflix version of the Fire Island documentary.
Firefest.
Firefest, right. That's what it is. Fire Fraud or something like that is the Hulu one. So I watched the Netflix one, and it feels like more of an inside look. They have the footage from everybody putting this together on the island of Exuma for a little while.
Exuma, not Exuma.
Is it Exuma? Exuma.
It's not the island of Exuma.
It's not Exuma?
Yeah, right.
Exuma?
It's so itchy there.
It's psoriasis.
They kept pronouncing it Exuma, so I don't know what to tell you.
I always thought it was Exuma.
That's the local pronunciation.
I thought Exuma was an autoimmune disorder. Like,
shockingly, the guy
president is psoriasis keen.
Shockingly, the guy putting together a multi-million-dollar festival and tanking the whole thing was unable to pronounce the name of the island, and I fell for it, just like everybody fell for his.
Maybe that was the problem. They're supposed to hold it. Isle of Eczema.
I could not watch this thing without thinking that everyone deserved exactly what they got. I have no sympathy for the people who bought it. The only people
Even
that
the
I
people
had sympathy
that actually
for,
wanted to go glamping,
that wanted to go and do this whole thing and bought their wristband. They're talking about like spending thousands and thousands of dollars on these RFID wristbands just for food and drinks and whatever. I'm like, why are you continually buying into what is clearly a snake oil pitch? It's stupid. The only people you end up having sympathy for at the end of this documentary are native islanders who all did work for this thing, putting it together, got stiffed on the payment. There's one woman who tried to run the catering for the whole thing, spent like 50 grand of her own money just trying to do her job, and isn't getting any of it back. It was awful. It was absolutely, like, those people got absolutely jobbed, and this guy's gonna walk out with, like, I don't know, 6 years in prison or something like that, and he can't be the CEO of a company ever again or something. I guarantee you he will find his way into managing a hedge fund once again and bilk a bunch of people for millions of dollars. It's, you hate everybody in the movie.
A Pennsylvania man says his emotional support, wait for it, alligator, yeah, helps him deal with his depression. Joey Henney, 65, said his registered emotional support animal named Wally likes to snuggle and give hugs despite being a 5-foot-long alligator. The York Haven man said he received approval from his doctor to use Wally as his emotional support animal after not wanting to go on medication for depression. He told Philly.com. Said, I had Wally. When I came home and was around him, it was all okay. My doctor knew about Wally and figured it works, so why not? Wally was rescued from outside Orlando at 14 months old and is still growing. Henny said Wally could be 16 feet long one day. He said Wally eats chicken wings. He shares an indoor plastic pond with a smaller rescue alligator named Scrappy. Wally turns 4. Henny describes him as a big teddy bear. He said the cold-blooded reptile likes to rest his snout on Henny's and he likes to give hugs. He said Wally is still a dangerous wild animal, but he's not afraid of him. His background indicates a comfort with creatures like Wally. He hosted an outdoors show on ESPN Outdoors from 1989 to 2000. He takes Wally out for meet and greets. He says he's just like a dog. He wants to be loved and petted. Okay. Joey, I get you. First of all, SSRIs work.
Do they?
Selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. You may not want to, but most psychiatrists would prescribe them because they work if you give them time. So they've had the right combination of that and Lamictal and other cocktails to find just the right thing. Reptiles play the long game. It's a cold-blooded reptile. When it's big enough, It's going to eat your face off.
I mean, that's where I feel bad for the guy. I mean, he's going to have to growing, give this alligator up.
It's eating a lot of chicken wings right now because it is playing the long game.
You graduate from chicken wings to hands.
It's going to eat your face off.
He's going to give the thing up, right? I mean, that's the end of the story. He knows he's going to have to give the thing up.
If it's going to be 16 feet long and in your house and in a plastic pool, at some point it is going to decide that it's time for the next phase of the operation. So, good luck to you, sir.
That is the Midday Midway. We do it every day here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show, and despite pronouncing names of exotic islands I could
maybe
never afford to
eczema.
Go to.
I don't know.
I thought it was eczema. Not eczema, like the thing, the condition, like eczema. I don't know. I really don't. It was pronounced that way in the documentary.
This segment's been brought to you by Subway. Subway now delivers your favorite sub, salad, or signature wrap straight to your door. Go to subway.com/delivers to order with Uber Eats, Grubhub, DoorDash, or Postmates. Delivery available in selected areas. See subway.com/delivers for details.
I've never been. I don't know what you want. I can't go to islands. I don't have money to buy one.
You see what's going on with the larger picture of the Super Bowl halftime show?
I know it's been a rough go.
Yeah,
it's been a blank show.
Usually this week, everybody's sort of excited about it. It's a big thing, and you're sort of honored with the opportunity to play the Super Bowl halftime show, and now nobody wants to do it, and the people who are doing it are being harassed for doing it.
Maroon 5 is still going to headline the thing, right?
I guess, but...
Headline?
Yeah.
Maroon 5.
Maroon 5.
Playing the same song. Over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Got the moves like Jagger.
All right, so you tell me it's not all coming together the way it needs to?
You mean that one song that sounds like the other song and
the
other
one? That's the one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but this one has a bridge. We put a bridge in this one. It's different.
Are they going to take it to it at any point?
No, they won't.
Yeah, people are now writing about the fact that this great opportunity is now headed down toward, like, C-list and with a caveat and with certain offers and with certain conditions. And it used to be this week, it was a big part of our week, is Les Grobstein going to the press conference and Les Grobstein talking to Lady Gaga and talking to Madonna or talking to Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers or Bruce Springsteen and getting that question at the press conference. Are we that interested in him talking to Adam?
Yes, I am, if only for that kind of comedy to follow up again. Your details on a halftime show set for disaster when we come back. It's Bernstein and McKnight, 670 The Score.
Mully and Hall, Chicago's sports morning show. Bulls head coach Jim Boylan.
It's a difficult time. You know, we're just going to try to build it right and figure out who our cornerstone players are, who can hold this franchise up, and then add the pieces we need to add.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough. Mully and Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
This is John Feinstein with the CBS Sports Minute, sponsored by Lowe's. Hurry into Lowe's today for huge savings on all things winter. It was supposed to be an epic final. Rafael Nadal, winner of 17 major titles versus Novak Djokovic, winner of 14. It was epic. If you like one-sided masterpieces, Nadal won a total of 8 games. Talk about epic. Less than a year ago, Djokovic needed elbow surgery, and his tennis future was seriously in doubt. Now he's won the last 3 major titles, and at 31, trails only Nadal and Roger Federer, who's won 20 in major victories. His 7th Australian Open title, surpassing Rod Laver and Roy Emerson, allowed him to break a tie with Pete Sampras on the all-time list of slam winners. Djokovic is honest when he says he'd like to catch Federer. Given what he's accomplished since last July, don't put it past him. I'm John Feinstein.
A rough-running engine could be suffering from buildup of fuel and oil deposits, but O'Reilly Auto Parts can help. Clean out engine buildup and improve fuel economy with Seafoam Motor Treatment. On sale for $7.99 each at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices, every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
1-877 Cars for Kids, K-A-R-S, Cars for Kids.
vacation voucher and maximum tax deduction.
1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. Donate your car today.
Also accepting boats, motorcycles, RVs, and real estate donations.
When I had my brother take me places, it was always like, we have to get there early so I can smoke a cigarette before we go inside. I'm in pain. I'm a little sister.
We always had to stop for cigarettes.
Yeah, exactly. It's true. Get up first thing, smoke a cigarette. Before lunch, after lunch, another one on the way home, before dinner, after dinner. Now that I'm talking about it, I'm kind of feeling like I've lost about 4 hours of every day.
I didn't realize it was that much.
Yeah, I know. I decided I needed to find an alternative. So I started looking, and then Juul came up. I did both for a while. It eventually, I just switched over, and it's very quick. I honestly feel like I remember recently you asking me, like, did you want to smoke before we go in? And I was like, no, I don't need to.
Mimi made the switch July 2015. Make the switch at Juul.com. That's J-U-U-L.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
And now, an ad from Mom.
Bundle home and auto with Progressive and save on your car insurance. Excuse me, maybe we should add in the word money so they know that they're saving money. I'm just going to add that in there, okay? Hello? Just nodding at me. Okay, well, he's got enough buttons to push in there.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
My name is Jim. I'm a veteran, and I lost both legs in Vietnam. My victory was proving that disability is not a limitation.
I'm Julius. I'm a veteran. My victory was going from homeless to home.
At DAV, we're on a mission, helping veterans of all generations get the benefits they've earned.
I'm Cece. My victory was finishing my education.
When America's veterans win, we all win. Help us support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Mullion Hall. Mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
Bulls head coach Jim Boylan.
Is it more difficult than maybe it looked from sitting next to the guy?
It's a difficult job. You know what it is? I think there's like a natural high from being the head coach. I think that's something that there's just a feeling of, you know, it's your team and you're in control and you're trying to do the best you can, and you get a lot of energy from that.
You know, Jim, I think people who have watched you coach wonder if you can keep that up every game over the course of an 82-game season, just the intensity.
The energy part, I always talk about competitive people. As the leader of the group, you know, your competitiveness has to be at a high level all the time. I have tried to sit down a little bit more, maybe the last 3 weeks, and just maybe watch the game instead of maybe react to the game.
Mullion Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Bernstein and McKnight. Middays, 9 a.m. to 1.
Ian Happ of the Chicago Cubs. Is there a way that you think your game can be optimized?
Yeah, my preference is just to be out there helping the team. Be out there being the lineup as much as I possibly can, and help the team in any way possible. That's, you know, that's what I've been trying to do since I came up a couple years ago, and I'm going to continue to do that. Just get me in the lineup and let me help.
How much time off do you take? Did you, like, put the bats down for a couple of weeks and just get away from everything, or are you like Bryant, where you're just you wake up and you get in the cage and you stay in the cage all day?
It was pretty quick for me this year. I think with the early exit, kind of we had a month more off season than we knew what to do with, so I took a couple weeks right after the season just to get my body back to status quo, and then really I jumped back in the cage and jumped back to working out pretty quick.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays 9 a.m. to 1, only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Who is 670 The Score? We're Chicago's original sports talk station. Chicago's only all-Chicago sports talk station. Covering all of Chicago's teams. And when breaking Chicago sports news happens, we'll break in with all the details. Guaranteed. Keep streaming The Score to your computer or device for the best sports talk in Chicago. We are Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Listen to the Lawrence Holmes Show, nights 6 to 10.
Patrick Manley joining me here on The Score. You're his teammate. What would you say to him? How do you console him and try, because he's going to be your teammate, at least contractually. He's slated to be your teammate next year. How do you get him right?
That's a tough one. I'll be harsh here because I just believe as a professional, you're paid to do your job. I played with a whole lot of teammates over 16 years, and they were guys that I loved, but they just weren't good enough. And if they weren't good enough as a teammate, you have to be fair to all the rest of your teammates. You want somebody better in there. You want somebody that can do their job. And especially when Cody walked in there, they knew what he got because he was the big kicker signing that was coming in to solve all the problems. And he did.
Lawrence Holmes, nights 6 to 10 on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's sports station.
Jack Daniel's Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Hi, Madonna, over this way. There you go. Obviously, you're playing at the biggest sporting event this coming Sunday. I don't know if you're aware, some of your classics are used at sporting events all over the time. Example, the Chicago Cubs haven't won a World Series in 104 years, and one time they went to one of their opponent's stadiums, and they were greeted by like a virgin. What do you think when they do stuff like that? But they're playing your songs, and they play. Another time they played Holiday when they ended a long losing streak.
Well, I'm never going to complain when someone plays my song, so I feel good.
Used to be a tradition unlike any other. Les Grobstein at the pre-Super Bowl press conference with the halftime performer, but it's just not really a thing anymore. And even to the point where this USA Today headline, Super Bowl halftime show is in free fall.
Yeah, listen, I don't like Maroon 5.
Why?
They don't do anything for me. But the guy sings all up. They're wildly successful.
Hold on. Is this going to be a rant against falsetto lead singing?
No, not necessarily. Although I do wonder what a guy like Justin Timberlake would do if he wanted to sing in full voice instead of falsetto the entire time. Like that'd be fun. It'd be fun to listen to. It'd be interesting to hear. Just because I don't like your crappy band and you don't like my crappy band doesn't mean anything. Like I can not like your fun thing, and you can not like my fun thing, and then we can get along.
Weezer
is tripe at times, but I like them, and you can like Maroon 5, and I can not like them, and we all get along.
By the new Raconteurs song, I heard it for the first time yesterday.
That moves.
Sunday Driver, it's good. And I'll tell you what I think Jack White sucks. I actually like Jack White better with the Raconteurs because it's less Spartan, and it's actual fleshed out music with pop sensibilities of Brendan Benson and other guys.
Yeah, I'm with you there. But White Stripes never really did a whole lot for me, though I do. You know, it's obvious to see, like, that's a lot.
Check out
talent.
Sunday Driver. It's got a groove to it. But it used to be, and this is what Maeve McDermott writes here, that it used to be akin to winning the Grammy for Album of the Year, the halftime show slot, an elite achievement. Beyonce, Katy Perry, Lady Gaga. It's a sign for artists that they're as beloved an institution as the Super Bowl itself. But things are different this time around, with confirmed performers dealing with waves of bad press. What's supposed to be one of the most exciting gigs of their careers, it's proof of how far the halftime show has fallen as one of music's so-called biggest nights. And then it chronicles exactly what's happened with everybody who was rumored to be involved and then deciding to be involved, and the controversy behind the treatment of Colin Kaepernick and why he is not playing in the NFL and what's understood. You know, Cardi B said she wasn't interested because of Colin Kaepernick and the whole movement. Jay-Z said, he even rapped, "I said no to the Super Bowl. You need me. I don't need you." And you have Travis Scott announcing he's going to be with Maroon 5, but he only agreed to perform if the NFL made a donation to a social justice organization, and he still got blowback for signing on to the show. And apparently Maroon 5 hasn't aged all that well, and they have this kind of reputation as low-rent frat boy rock, and it's not good.
They do. I find it interesting that Travis Scott is putting up the issues at hand to the NFL.
But you're in Atlanta, and I'm glad she points us out here that America's nexus of hip hop culture, native sons of Atlanta, Outkast, T.I., Migos, Future, Young Jeezy, Childish Gambino, 2 Chainz, Gucci Mane, Young Thug, 21 Savage, Killer Mike, and the only one saying yes is Big Boy of Outkast, and hasn't really talked about it very much. That Big Boy's trying to keep his appearance as low profile as possible because of the toxic reception greeting the halftime show's headliners.
Do you remember what the halftime show used to look like? Like back in the 90s?
Oh, yeah.
A friend of mine shot this around, shot like a YouTube video around to like a group text like a couple of weeks ago.
I was apropos
of nothing.
My first Super Bowl I covered was 97.
The 1990. Oh, no, I'm talking about even before they became shows. Like
big up with
concerts.
People?
No, 1990 was, I mean, Up With People was something. 1990 was the Louisiana Superdome. It's a salute to New Orleans and the 40th anniversary of Peanuts. The set list was Upper Lazy River, Waiting for the Robert E. Lee, Here Comes the Showboat, When the Saints Go Marching In, and Happy Birthday to You. Those were the songs played by Nicholls State University Marching Band, Southern University Marching Band, and the USL Marching Band.
Now, I've seen the Southern Marching Band in action,
oh,
and
no,
that's a thing.
They're cool. They're awesome. Nothing wrong with that. But the show has become something completely different in the last 30 years. Like, Michael Jackson shows up on stage, New Kids on the Block come around. Was that 1991 in Tampa, I think? And then 92's the full-out Michael Jackson show. It changed completely. I had no idea that this was essentially a... like a combination of a college football halftime show and something, anything on ice.
Because if I remember in 97, that first Super Bowl I covered, Diana Ross came in on a helicopter.
You mean the 97 Phoenix. Super Bowl or the 97 football season? Just to be clear.
I don't remember.
It was in the Superdome?
It was Super Bowl 30XXX. No, it was in Phoenix. So look up whatever that show, but it was Diana Ross.
Oh, Sun Devil Stadium. That was 96.
Okay, 96.
Yeah, Diana Ross. It was, the official sponsor was Oscar Mayer.
Meyer.
And, oh yeah, it says stop in the name of love. I didn't know if they sponsored the thing or not. Maybe it's another dude.
They click on the link. They serve Oscar Mayer at Eczema Island.
They do.
To the raccoons.
That's what they were going to serve to everybody. Connor has actually screwed himself so much. He started with raccoon, and now it's so just... invested in his head that its trickle-down effect is incredible.
It's possible. Getting words wrong, but it wasn't...
poison my own
brain.
It
wasn't just Diana Ross, because Kiss was there too, right? If I might be mashing things up in the Super Bowls that I've covered.
It says just Diana Ross.
Because before the game, I think there was Kiss, and like Aerosmith was in another one where I was, and Diana Ross leaves on a helicopter. And that was also the first time anyone had ever seen those the inflatable dancing men that keep the wolves away. It was the wacky, waving
inflatable car salesman dancing guys.
Meanwhile, I don't know if there has been one. It's not out there in the snow. There has been one of those at Clybourne and... whatever's just past Webster, south of Webster, by the White Glove Car Wash there on Clybourne.
Yeah, all right.
They have the funniest one of those I've ever seen.
How is it? It's funny how?
I'm
a clown?
Spontaneously laugh out loud watching it. Because it does
It
doesn't do a dance side to side. It does like a, oi! And it falls over completely on its face and then gets back up. And I don't know if it's just so old and tattered that that's how it's been acting lately, but it just looks like it's like, I got it. I didn't got it. And it falls over and it's just hilarious.
What is it advertising for the car wash?
Yeah, I think it just gets your attention for the White Glove Car Wash over there. And is it Shakespeare? I think it's the cross street. There's like a 7-Eleven right there.
Sounds right.
I think it's Clybourne and Shakespeare.
Webster and then Shakespeare?
That
sounds right.
I think it's right there at that corner. And I laugh out loud every time I see it. it's not like a conscious thing. It like hits me on a level that I have to laugh. I'm serious.
Has it been out there for a while?
Yes. It's like dirty and it's. I think that's why it's functioning in a way that I find
a better one. But we like
funny. It works for them. The bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. While Brandon Peary averages a point per game with Vegas, one of 45 former Chicago Wolves playing in the NHL, Peary bobbleheads will be given away next Saturday night at Allstate Arena, courtesy of CW50. For tickets, visit ChicagoWolves.com.
A little bit of a change to college football. Have you seen that the Power Five conferences unanimously passed legislation this last week that the schools are going to have mental health services and resources available for student athletes?
Really?
Yeah.
Good for them.
We don't celebrate, at least I don't celebrate the NCAA all that often, or at least legislation from it, but that's happening for different. I saw this pop up just a few minutes ago and I thought, well, that's actually a good job by the NCAA. That's, yeah, slow clap. A little bit of a slow clap there.
When we come back, another chance to win $1,000 in cash on the score. I have the keyword for you. I will tell you on the other side of a break. We have a pair of fish tickets to give away. We have Darnell Mayberry talking about the Bulls and a potential major trade upcoming in the NBA. That's at the top of the hour. Bernstein and McKnight, middays on the score.
The McNeil and Parkin Show, afternoons 1 to 6.
We're talking to Bears chairman George McCaskey. Back to Cleo Mack then for a second. Any hesitation?
No. Ryan said that he and Matt were talking about it throughout training camp. It's going to cost us 2 number 1 draft picks. I said, okay. It's also going to blow the committed cash budget. I said, let's go get them.
The McNeil and Parkin Show, afternoons 1 to 6. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago.
Purchase 5 quarts of Valvoline MaxLife High Mileage Motor Oil and a MicroGuard filter for the same price as Valvoline Conventional, just $26.99 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Extend the life of your engine with Valvoline MaxLife. Plus, earn double O rewards points on this purchase. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
1-877-CARS for kids. Cars for Kids.
Donate your car today with 1-877-CARS for Kids. We're a recognized 501c3 charity organization, so you'll receive a maximum tax deduction. What's more, you'll receive a vacation voucher of 3 days and 2 nights. Also on the web at carsforkids.com.
1-877-CARS for Kids. Donate your car today.
Remember, that's CARS with a K.
Thanks for streaming The Score. The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6.
We heard Sage Rosenfels earlier today with Bernstein and McKnight.
Oh, I just absolutely loved it, and it just reminded me of the last time I was in Home Depot when some guy says, I love it when you and Parkin start teasing about Mark Potash tweets, because I always read Mark Potash, and I love his work.
Hot
Sometimes
seat.
You can be in the weirdest places, and people will say things about stuff that happens on the show when you least expect it. People stop in Bernsey at the grocery store.
I can't tell you, the text lines and everything just lights up. And people actually who have stopped me in the grocery store and specifically have mentioned this segment as making them smarter and better football fans because of your insights.
You learn a lot. You know, you watch through it and it washes over you.
Always sell, baby.
All good things must end.
That's great.
Doesn't make it any easier.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
That are used in hospitals.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
I guess I've looked at the score text screen long enough to know that I should never be surprised at the things that can inspire intense anger from texters. I wasn't sure that the Super Bowl halftime show would be one of them. But apparently it is. I'm glad those garbage bands crap rap won't show up.
What?
The Super Bowl halftime show is trash. The ratings will be fine. I never watch it. I always watch counter programming. The ratings won't suffer. My goodness. It's
all
trash.
He's mad about sports.
Never been a need for it. It's a football game, not a concert. Well, it is a concert. At halftime of a football game.
Put it on at the halftime.
Right. It is.
I don't know.
Yeah, okay. I mean,
who gives a damn?
No one makes you watch
Get
it.
Up and leave the room.
Thanks for texting us, pal.
Yeah.
Thanks for the info.
Yeah, but okay. But nobody. What else
is on? What counter programming is on during the halftime show? It's not an honest question.
Like the Puppy Bowl.
Is that a
That'd
thing?
That'd be a great bit. Not even like Puppy Bowl or like, you know, Super Bowl specific alternatives. Just like what movies are running at the time and on what channels?
Gunsmoke replays.
Probably.
Tombstone is on somewhere.
Sky Point to Gary from Evanston, you can probably find Bonanza somewhere. Maybe there's some how-to videos or something, or like this old house or somebody painting something.
Probably a Marvel movie on somewhere.
There's a cooking show, probably.
No, there's running that.
There's definitely some Hitler somewhere, because one of the rules
of cable
television is no at any time of day you can find Hitler.
Yeah, the History Channel, they just run constant documentaries on that stuff.
Yep, you can find Hitler in his bunker screaming at people. And so
they don't have actual footage of that.
No, they don't, but We know there's various,
created in many different places.
There's various versions.
What sounds like sports talk TV.
Right, Stephen A. Smith is screaming at Hitler. The Maginot Lines and things of that nature. That's preposterous. So, sorry. I apologize for that. I don't really. I want to let you know.
Don't bother.
There is a press conference being held right now, Mayor Rahm Emanuel and other city officials, regarding the extreme weather. The latest that we have, if you are a CPS parent, as I am, we as parents will receive notification from the city by noon tomorrow on the status of schools for Wednesday and Thursday.
Are you guys on to the digital learning days if you get cancellations for weather?
No, we're on to the...
Are you in on this yet?
Play Fortnite days, I think.
Well, those are better. I mean, because we had snow days growing up, obviously, but now there are a bunch of... I don't know if it's CPS. I don't have kids, so I have no idea. CPS or some schools are now on to digital learning where essentially you're just... Kids are like logging on and there are lectures via Skype or like homework you can complete online. There's actual assignments being given when weather cancels schools.
My high school does that because I saw someone retweet a tweet from our high school that said, "All right, students, hope you have your Chromebooks charged."
Really?
Mm-hmm. Everybody's required to have a school-issued Chromebook.
That's cruel.
They've gone that far. They're now tough-talking kids on snow days.
Yeah, it's Twitter, so you got to have some Twitter in it.
It's not just you can't have grilled cheese and tomato soup, but get your laptops charged, little kiddos. You've got lectures to read.
Wow.
What the hell?
I get it. Finite number of days. They got to keep the scores up. They got to make sure that they're competitive. I understand.
That's better off.
Well, it's actually what's complicating things is that at least the selective enrollment high schools have 3 days of finals. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So I don't know if they would be rescheduling a day of finals at places like, Lane and Northside and Jones and Peyton and Whitney Young. So,
I mean, that doesn't break up stuff that much, does it? I mean, every teacher after a final is just planning a movie day the day after anyway. So you scrap the final.
And they're already off Friday.
They're off Friday?
Yeah, they're
Friday. I didn't realize that.
Report card compilation teacher institute days, whatever they call it, they're already off for Friday.
Teacher bottle of scotch day. That's what that day is.
You having been a
believe
teacher.
That is a teacher bottle of scotch day. That's what that is.
So if they want to just bag it and go Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, fine by me with the wife out of town. Fine by me.
Oh, yeah, you're running everybody around.
Absolutely fine.
In the snowpocalypse, you're running everybody around.
Uh-huh. And hockey all week and a game Thursday night and goalie clinic Wednesday night and a lot of stuff going on.
You got to scrap a plan or two.
Mm.
You just have to torpedo something to make life easier for yourself.
Nah, it's doable. It's doable.
Like the soldier up thing.
I'd be down for a bottle of scotch Friday, though, but we're working. It's the only problem. It's time for your chance to win $1,000 in cash on the score. This hour's keyword is... media. Text media to 72881 by the end of the hour. Again, the keyword is media to 72881. One randomly selected nationwide entrant from this hour will win. Please do not text and drive. Message and data rates may apply.
We joked a little bit about the Redford Jones signing. The Bears offering a little competition to Cody Parkey at the kicking spot. But the other signing that happened over the weekend was Bobby Massey getting himself a guaranteed contract. An extension. He's one of, Kevin Fishbane wrote this up. He is the first of the 10 free agents that Ryan Pace has signed to 3-year contracts to reach the end of the contract and then subsequently get re-signed. Those other guys hadn't hit the way they did. And at first I saw the rumored like $8 million put aside for Bobby Massey at right tackle there. It makes him one of the highest paid right tackles in the game. We talked to Hub last week about how good is Bobby Massey? Where does he fit on the offensive line? Where does he fit in relative terms of other right tackles in the NFL? And at first I balked a little bit at the number, that $8 million, given the Bears have, something like $22 million in cap space, something like that. But I keep on, you got to remind yourself that Deion Sims is on that roster now with something like 6 attached to his number. You got to figure that's not coming back. So the savings on this whole deal, you're really only down, what, $2 million if you do the math that way in your head? Bobby Massey re-signed. You got to find some tight end depth. Deion Sims is out for 6, and that's where you're set. I guess it's just not the gigantic knock to the salary cap the Bears had that it kind of looked like to begin with. But vaulting Bobby Massey into a top 5 category is another thing, too.
I saw some ridiculous stat, I have to find it, that Bobby Massey had a very, very low number of penalties. That he may not be great. he may not be, oh my God, look at that pancake block, or look what they can do to run half their offense behind him. But there is a value to not making mistakes. There is a value to that level of consistency. And I think that's sort of what went into the, you know, Charles Leno and the extension they gave him. I guess it matters to be good enough. Apparently he allowed the fewest sacks and had the fewest penalties and allowed what, the second fewest pressures of anybody who was going to be a free agent or was a free agent at the position. So
yeah.
The actual hard numbers of his performance outlined a valuable right tackle.
Well, the sacks allowed are, that's kind of going to be a factor of Mitch Trubisky's mobility, isn't it? I mean, the fact that he's able to get outside the pocket or move around within it as well as he does and attack downfield with his legs, that helps you in terms of total sacks given up and pressures as well.
Yeah, Stats Inc. says he only...
I mean, the flags is a thing. Don't get me wrong. Right. I mean, not getting flagged is big.
Stats Inc. said 2 sacks and 0 holding penalties. How many right tackles went through a year with 0 holding penalties?
I mean, full-time starters? I can't imagine many at
right.
all.
That's pretty spectacular.
Yeah, and I suppose if you're looking at the rest of the marketplace, if Bobby Massey is one of the best guys available to you on that market, then he's worth paying for what you're going to get.
Yeah, I wasn't sure when they signed him. He was a Cardinal, right?
Yes, and, came over from Arizona.
And I remember it was Hub said that he was a little surprised at a guy who could be exposed in the passing game, and he's been fine.
I think he's been trying to shake off those first, like, what, 6 or 8 weeks?
Oh, boy, was
he
bad.
When he signed, he was really bad. But if you're an optimist, you could just chalk that up to first time in a new situation, you know, learning a new scheme, all that kind of stuff. And because he's been solid since.
And helped by the ball coming out quicker in a Matt Nagy offense, probably. I mean, maybe it's just a nice little marriage there that his first hand punch, his first engagement is delivered in a way that's unlikely to yield a hold, or, you know, the ball's out before he decides to just pull somebody down by the back of a jersey.
It's kind of weird. Even with the offensive line, now all of them coming back, I think that's every offensive starter coming back next season too, which should help in Matt Nagy's second year running the offense. You're still looking for, and I guess part of this goes to the running backs you've got, but you're still looking for a consistent run game. Whether whatever that looks like for Matt Nagy, whatever the numbers, the balance, the ratio, however he wants to term it, I don't necessarily care. But you do have to be a little bit more of a threat in that way than you were in season one of Matt Nagy's offense. And despite, you know, Massey having a, you know, reputation like you mentioned that Hub gave him, kind of as a road grader, you know, that much more of a run block type guy. Kyle Long has that as well. You know, you didn't see a whole lot of that in the first season for Nagy's offense.
Did you learn anything from watching the Pro Bowl? Because the fact that one of us
I watched 90 seconds of it.
Okay, you learn anything from your 90 seconds of exposure to the Pro Bowl?
I think I saw Dak Prescott throw a horrible interception, and then I saw I saw Saquon Barkley and Alvin Kamara as rush ends.
Okay, now when I saw of that on Twitter.
Of the rush end thing?
I laughed out. Yeah, the rush end collusion or influence. I laughed out loud when Dan Pompey tweeted, "I'm all for fun, but how about a little respect for the game?" We got the get off my lawn tweet from the old football man, the Hall of Famer, saying, "Not enough respect for the game. How dare they?" It's an exhibition.
I did find it funny. The broadcast, as best it got through it, had pointed out, oh, Saquon and Alvin Kamara, they're rush ends. And then Witt says something like, oh, yeah, just how about the creativity by this NFC coaching staff? And it cuts to Jason Garrett, who's somehow there, right? Camera cuts to Jason Garrett. It's pouring rain. He's absolutely soaked with a just absolutely emotionless look on his face. Just this dead, eyed, soulless look. This emotion, this creativity from Jason Garrett. Dead face.
And it's probably the play.
Just screaming and yelling, I don't want to be here.
How much is it just players like, hey, can I go play defensive end? Yeah, sure. You know, it's like the story Jason Hayward was telling us, how he likes to, you know, warm up at short.
Right.
Because there were a team he played on that said, whatever position you ran out to, whoever got there first got to play that position.
Jason, you're left-handed.
He didn't care.
Apparently not.
He didn't care.
Do whatever the hell he wants. Saquon was like calling plays. Saquon was putting his arms up and looking like he was calling plays on defense.
We were watching some of the quarterbacking skills competition, and it might have been one of these
Who,
things.
You and the kid?
Well, it was on as during hockey warm-ups. Okay. So it was just sort of on one of the TVs there watching Andrew Luck and Russell Wilson throw through the big targets and stuff. Did that look easier on TV than maybe it was? You know what I mean? There was something about it where maybe it was the angles, like throwing into those giant trampolines that Andrew Luck was missing by 30 feet.
The fours in either corner?
Yes.
Those looked pretty easy.
Didn't they look? I'm not saying they were easy. However,
for NFL quarterbacks.
Right. When you're looking at NFL quarterbacks, not college quarterbacks, like these are Pro Bowl quarterbacks, were missing by 20 feet.
I did see the part of the skills competition where it was like a relay, right? And you've got Mitch throwing to, I think it was Odell Beckham, and he's got to make X kind of throws, right? He goes around the horn. He's got the lob toss and a sideline catch and a leaping grab and all this kind of stuff. And he takes Mitch, and they just can't get it right. They just can't throw that lob pass off to Mitch's right. And then it's Thielen and Russell Wilson are the second leg of their relay, and it's bam, next station.
Every time.
Bam, next station. Bam, next station. Bam, next day. I mean, that was...
The top of the hour.
I'm sure it's fine.
Is brought to you... Yeah, don't make us...
I'm sure it's fine.
You're not alarmed. It's brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. While Brandon Peary averages a point per game with Vegas, one of 45 former Chicago Wolves playing in the NHL, Peary bobbleheads will be given away next Saturday night at Allstate Arena, courtesy of CW50. For tickets, visit ChicagoWolves.com. We got Darnell Mayberry coming up. We still have the pair of tickets to see Fish on July 14th at Alpine Valley. Got another chance to win $1,000 and Bulls talk. I watched Bulls and Cavs, and I listened to some Bulls and Cavs here on these airwaves, and I don't know, man. I hear bewilderment in the broadcast. I hear Stacey King.
Oh, that last possession.
Unsure of what he's seeing and why he's seeing it. I hear Bill Wennington when Chuck and Bill are doing a nice job, and Chuck is anticipating, say, okay, Bill, what should you do here? What would you do here? And Bill said, well, considering how much time is left, I would see if I can get something with Zach LaVine going hard to the basket here. And then the next thing you know, here's Chris Dunn. Oh, he's going to take the shot. Oh, missed the iron, hit the backboard. Like,
So it didn't go well?
Okay, so that's not how you drew it up. Although knowing Jim Boylan, it is possible that's what he drew up.
I don't think that one with Dunn going to the bucket necessarily looked like. Because you had Markkanen coming up and looking like he was holding his hands out for the basketball. Just looking to get something. I think Dunn, Rick was talking about it earlier. I think Dunn saw the lane and took the bait.
Yeah, hit the rim though.
If you're Chris Dunn, if you're the Bulls, do you have to begin to look at Chris Dunn a little differently now?
I think they have been.
How long?
Because he can't put the ball in the basket. It's a problem for America.
Yes.
We'll see what Darnell Mayberry thinks about all of it and what could be shifting tides in the NBA because of what Anthony Davis has just informed the Pelicans he's going to do and not do. All that coming your way next on The Score.
Thanks for keeping us the number one sports station in Chicago. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports.
When your battery goes dead, everything can come to a stop. Don't take a chance on getting stranded. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and get your battery tested free of charge. If your battery does need to be replaced, O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the exact Superstart battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For kids, KARS Cars for Kids, 1-877 Cars for Kids. Donate your car today. 1-877 Cars for Kids, KARS Cars for Kids, 1-877 Cars for Kids. Donate your car today.
To learn more about our programs and to donate, visit us online at carsforkids.com. Remember, that's Cars with a K. Pickup is quick and easy. You'll also get a vacation voucher and maximum tax deduction.
1-877 Cars for Kids. KARS Cars for Kids. 1-877 Cars for Kids. Donate your car today.
Also accepting boats, motorcycles, RVs, and real estate donations.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Purchase 5 quarts of Valvoline Max Life High Mileage Motor Oil and a MicroGuard filter for the same price as Valvoline Conventional, just $26.99 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Extend the life of your engine with Valvoline Max Life. Plus, earn double O rewards points on this purchase. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Listen to the Lawrence Holmes Show, nights 6 to 10.
Patrick Manley joining me here on The Score.
I think I might have screamed, oh, my God. And I just was in shock. And I just, like I said earlier, I feel bad for Cody. I feel terrible for the city because it's been 8 long years for a season like this and to get experience a playoff game at home. And I'm still upset. I'm still devastated. And, you know, those players are hurting, and they'll carry this on for a while. But you got to take it in time, Lawrence, and turn it into motivation to make yourself a better player, not only Cody, but everybody else on that team to figure out how you take that next step next year. You know, I think Matt Nagy sums it up. He's like, you got to feel the hurt. You got to understand it, and you got to move forward from it, and that loss will always hurt. It should hurt them, and you just got to find a way to use that as positive motivation to never put yourself in that situation again.
Lawrence Holmes, nights 6 to 10 on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago Sports Station.